Likuti Halachas, Yoradeya, Hilchas Giluach, Halacha Aleph. From the beginning, we start a new topic. We dedicate the learning today, Le'ilui Nishmas, Moiri Varebi Horav, Rebbe Yochaim, Rebbe Kleinem Iskalman, Rebbe Yochaim Rosen, who was one of the major elders of Breslov in the previous generation. He was born in Poland and orphaned. His father passed away when he was a young child. And yet he flourished in learning Torah to such an extent that I believe when he was bar mitzvah, he wanted to get into one of the best yeshivas in Poland at the time, where generally boys entered there at the age of 17, 18, and he came and wanted to be tested, and they looked at him and they said, "You're a child. You still have a couple of years before you can come here." And he said, "Please test me." And they did, and he was accepted immediately. And he grew in Torah and Yerushalayim. And I believe at some point, 17, approximately that age, he discovered Breslov. And he went to Uman, and he remained there. And him and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender were close. At that time, in Uman, they were close. They were both students of Rabbi Avram, Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Yochaim was a person who loved to help others, always looking out for others, so that even under the communists, when it was forbidden for people to do charity type work, he would receive packages. He had some family in Canada, I believe, in the United States, a little bit of family, and they would send to him sometimes things which he would share and distribute to his friends. At one point, the KGB took him in for interrogation. They took him in, and they took in one of the other Breslovers. His name was Reb Matis. Reb Matis was an incredible Talmud Chacham, giant in Torah. And they interrogated Reb Matis, and they wanted to trick him. So they said to him, "You know, you think he's your friend. He's not your friend at all. People send him stuff to give you, and he doesn't give it to you." And Reb Matis said, "It's not true. He did give me." Not knowing that they were tricking him into testifying against Reb Yochaim. And Rabbi Yochaim was there at the time, and he's looking at this, and he can't believe this, that his own friend, whom he helped tremendously, is incriminating him. And the interrogator left the room at one point, and Rabbi Yochaim says to Reb Matis, "You're trying to get me killed, you know?" And then immediately Reb Matis understood, he figured it out, and he thought for a moment, and he said to Rabbi Yochaim, "Who knows? Maybe this is your ticket to Eretz Yisrael." And sure enough, through a whole incredible series of events, there was a decision made that him and his friend Reb Levi Yitzchak were to be hung. I believe hung or to be killed the following day. And Reb Yochaim said he never had a night like that in his life, an entire night of crying and screaming to Hashem. The silent scream, screaming to Hashem, pleading for his children. How are his children going to grow up in communist Russia without a father? And sure enough, Hashem made an incredible miracle that at one point during the night, one of the very high-level people in the KGB came in and he asked Rabbi Yochaim, he said to him, "You're Breslov, right?" And he nodded and he said, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to save you." And Rabbi Yochaim looked at him, "Oh, another trick. They're not finished yet with all of their tricks with us." And he said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, "You should know my father was so-and-so. He was a Breslover. And even when he saw that I got involved in communism, I became a communist, he never tried to change my ideology. But before he passed away, he said to me, 'I have one request of you, that if ever a Breslover should come into your hands, please do what you can to help him.'" And he said, "This is my opportunity. Now I'm going to fulfill the last words of my father with you too." And sure enough, he was able to help them be released. And they fled. They left Moscow. They shortly afterwards got on a boat to Eretz Yisrael. They realized that it was definitely not safe for them to remain in the Soviet Union at the time. And sure enough, they found out that shortly after the boat left, people came looking for them. People came looking for them again because this person had gotten them some kind of a pardon, but there were others that weren't willing to be complacent about it. He came to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, he was an incredible doer. He was here at the time, I believe in the 1930s or early 1930s, and he saw at that time Breslov was very small. But he understood that it's not going to remain like that, that this isn't communist Russia, that here in Eretz Yisrael, Yiddishkeit will flourish, and Hasidus will flourish, and even Breslov will flourish. And he went about, at the time, establishing a kollel in Yerushalayim, giving stipends to people, even though at that time it was very, very meager, very small, but it was the beginning. And then at one point he realized that we need a shul, we need our own building. And he left Eretz Yisrael for 6 months and traveled around the United States, Canada, hardly knowing anybody, but trying to raise the monies needed to purchase a parcel of land on which the Breslov shul and kollel and Mea Shearim would eventually be built. He was the one who initiated that project and the one who saw it to a level of completion at that time, with the help of my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, and others. He would give shiurim every day in the kollel between Mincha and Maariv, and his style of shiurim is he would read a little bit in the Sefer, Likutei Moran, Sipurei Maaseis, and then that would lead into a story, which would lead into another story, and it was incredibly inspiring and motivating. The people from the kollel would sit and listen. And even though Rabbi Eliyahu was weak from when he was a child, he had different illnesses, he was physically weak, so he couldn't raise his voice. But you'd see everybody leaning forward, listening carefully, not wanting to miss a word, because the stories were so inspiring and motivating. Stories about Rishonim, Achronim, the Baal Shem Tov and his students, Rabbeinu Zal and his students, incredible things. He passed away a few years after Rav Rosenfeld, which means approximately 40 years ago, and is buried on Har HaZeisim, Zchus HaYagon Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael. And we dedicate the learning today also for a complete refuah shalema for all those that need it, B'soich Shar Choli Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal here begins speaking about the topic of a beard and payas, which in the previous generations was considered to be something very, very special. That was the way you were able to recognize a Jew, by the beard and payas. We know that the Arizal says, by Avraham Avinu, that in those days, during the time of Avraham Avinu, thousands of years ago, no one cut the beard. So by having a beard, the person wasn't yet recognizable as being a Jew apart from the non-Jews. By Avraham Avinu, it was the payas. The fact that he had payas, that's what distinguished him and differentiated him from the non-Jews. And this is why at one point Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Ekev asher shoma Avram b'koili, that because Avram Avinu listened to me, and the Arizal says the word Ekev is bigematria 172, which is two times Peah. Peah is 86, which is bigematria elikim. Ekev is two times that. That this was the thing that Avraham Avinu wasn't ashamed, wasn't afraid to appear different from the others, to make it perfectly clear that I'm not part of you. Hein am levod od yishkan, that the Jewish nation stands apart from the other nations. And now in the next few halachas, Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into this in depth, explaining what the payas are, what the beard is. We know that when we see pictures of a Holocaust sometimes, one of the things that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, wanted to do to show their deep hate and resentment for the Jews was cutting the beard, cutting the payas. That was how they showed their wrath and again their envy. This was actually a kinna and a sinna for the Jewish people. Rav Nosson Zal begins, Halacha Aleph, Isser Giluach HaPeyos VaHazakon, the fact that a Jew is forbidden to cut off the payas or the beard using a razor, using things that cut completely. That's according to halacha. Al pima shemavur b'maymar meshra de sakina, based on what Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 30 in Likutei Moran, shahasarois hein bechinas chochmotato. There, that's a long chapter in Likutei Moran, which Rabbeinu Zal said on Shabbos Chanukah, interestingly. And Rav Nosson Zal in Orach Chaim, in the beginning, has a major halacha, Hilchas Hashkoma Saboiker Halacha Dalid, explaining Chanukah, the holiday of Chanukah, based on this chapter on Likutei Moran. It's not coincidence that we're starting this a few days before Chanukah. Rabbeinu Zal explains there, שהסארויס הן בחינס חוכמת התואר, that the hair represents the lower level chokhma, shehu ikra ha-hasoga, which is really what we are able to understand, what we are able to attain. Rabbi Nizal says there in Likutei Moran, he begins by saying, hasoga selokus i'efshe lahasik, a real deep, high-level understanding of Hashem is something that we cannot achieve kim al yedei tzimtzumim rabim, without it being shrunken, brought down lower and lower and lower to levels that we can relate to. Kim al yedei tzimtzumim rabim. And then Rabbi Nizal goes on to say in paragraph Gimel, v'ze b'chinas sa'arois. And that's what the hair is. Shehaoras hamoichin yoitzin bahasaros. The brain is the place of chokhma, seichel, but the chokhma and the seichel of the brain we cannot relate to. It's hidden, it's inside the skull, we can't see it. What we can see of the brain is the hairs that are coming out of the head. They represent the hasoga selukus, the high-level understanding of Hashem, which is mislabesh b'haseichel hatachtoin, which is cloaked and contained in lower-level seichel, which is the hairs. The hairs represent like these thin, thin pipes by which we can receive. We know, for example, you have an ocean, you have a reservoir. Can a person drink from a reservoir? No, you have to have pipes going from the reservoir. First, there are large pipes going into a city. Then from those large pipes, there are smaller pipes going into buildings. And from those pipes, there are still smaller pipes going into each and every individual apartment. And in the apartment, there's smaller pipes that go from the main pipe leading into the apartment to the individual sinks, that type of thing. So too, lahavdol, when it comes to seichel is compared to water, that kind of thing. You need tzimtzumim upon tzimtzumim and tzimtzumim to be able to receive the seichel in a way that we can relate to it. And Rabbi Nizal says there, based on the Sifrei Kabbalah, that these tzimtzumim, this tzimtzum we're referring to here, is called chachma tato, the lower level chachma, and is also referred to as malchus. Just like when we speak about the sun and the moon. The sun represents chachma, as Rabbi Nizal writes in the first chapter on the Likutei Moran. But we cannot look directly at the sun. The moon represents malchus, chachma tato. The moon we can look at. We can look at and we can benefit. We're not supposed to look at the moon because the moon represents the Shekhinah. You're not supposed to stare. You're allowed to glance at it, but not supposed to stare at the moon. But in terms of the level of light, a level of light that we can relate to, that's Chochmah Tato, which is also referred to as Malchus. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, Shehasayrois hein bechinas Chochmah Tato. The hairs coming out of the head, those are these small pipes, which are called Chochmah Tato, Shehu Ikra HaHasoga, which is what we really can understand and can attain. Shehu bechinas malchus. And chokhmah tato is also referred to as malchus. Ayin sham, look over there in chapter 30 in Likutei Moran. Rabbi Nizal explains there, however, we know that malchus has no light of its own, which means malchus has no life of its own. And therefore, v'tzorech lahamshich lo chayim, we have to draw life into the malchus, into this chokhmah tato. Because the Mishnah says, Horabonos mekaberes es ba'aleho, that leadership, Malchus, buries the one who attains it. We know that the Gemara tells us, Dovr HaMelech was supposed to be born dead. He was supposed to be a nephil, to pass away within the first 30 days of his life. He had to be given a donation, a contribution of life. He was given 70 years from Adam HaRishon. That's why Adam HaRishon lived 930 years. Hashem said, on the day that you eat from this tree, you're going to die. And Hashem's day is 1,000 years. Ki elef shonim b'einecho ki yoyim esmoel. So Adam HaRishon could have lived 1,000 years. He gave away 70 years of his life to Dovr HaMelech. And it's brought that because Adam Arishon's years were defective because of the Eitz Hadas, it had to be supplemented by the Avos. Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef had to contribute some of their years to David HaMelech also, to make up 70 good years in a sense. But we see from here and in other places in the Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal makes reference to this, that the Malchus, we have to infuse life into the Malchus. Alkein, tzrichin leha'aloiso el oyer haponim hameir b'sholosh regolim. Therefore, Rabbi Nizal explains there, we have to elevate the Malchus and connect it to kaviyochel, the light of Hashem's face, which shines during the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. That's when the Torah says, Sholosh Panim Bashana, Yeroa Kol Zchurcha, Es Pnei Hashem Alekecha. That three times a year, we're supposed to go to the Beis Mikdash to see the face of Hashem. This Oyer HaPanim kaviyochel that shines in the Beis Mikdash on these three holidays. Shehein Bechinas Bino Liba. And we know, Rabbi Nizal explains in that chapter in the Likutei Moran also, that these holidays are the heart of the year. They are the lave of the year. And the heart is Bina, lave maven. And Yontif is associated with Bina. Rabbi Nizal brings this in another chapter in the Likutei Moran, that Eile Moyade Hashem, the Pasuk says, these are Hashem's holidays. The first letters of Eile Moyade Hashem spells the word Imi, my mother. And the mother is associated with Bina. The father is Chachma, the mother is Bina. V'tzorich l'chotcho min ho'arba malchus. Rabbi Nizal explains over there in the Likutei Moran also that because the Malchus is the lowest level on the ladder of holiness, it's the one that's most accessible and vulnerable to Tuma, to the Klipos, to the Sitra Achra. And therefore, very often the Sitra Achra attaches itself to it and tries to draw power from it. So our mission is to cut the Malchus de Kedusha. When the Malchus of the Sitra Achra attaches itself to the Malchus of Kedusha, we have to cut, we have to sever that connection to detach the Malchus of Kedusha from the Malchus of the Sitra Achra. Min ha'arba malchios, from the four kingdoms of the Sitra Achra, Shehem ha-Sitra Achra, which make up the Sitra Achra. These four kingdoms are the four exiles that the Jewish nation experienced. Bavel, Edom or Roimi, Paras u'Madai, and Yavon. These are referred to as the Arba Malchios of the Sitra Achra. Shelo yilehem yenika min ha-chochma b'chinas malchus. So as not to allow them to draw strength, to draw power from Chachma via the Malchus. Remember, Chachma is shining into the Malchus. Chachma is shining via the Tzimtzumim, via the Malchus, via that those pipes. Shehu Bechinas Dalet. And we know that the Malchus is represented by the letter Dalet. Because Dalus means poor. And the Zohar Kodesh tells us the Malchus has no light of its own. It has to receive from Chachma. V'zeh naseh al yidei b'chinas chesed. Rabbi Nizal explains over there in the Likutei Moran, what gives us the power to cut, to sever that connection between the Malchus of the Sitra Achra and the Malchus of Kedusha? It requires chesed. There's a pasuk, V'huchan b'chesed kisoi. Hashem will establish his throne with chesed. So chesed plays an important role in establishing the throne, the malchus. V'ha'chesed nizgale al yidei ha'toychocho. And Rabbi Nizal shows there in the Likutei Moran that one of the ways that a person shows kindness is through rebuke. There's a pasuk, Es asher ye'ahav Hashem yochiach. One who Hashem loves, Hashem rebukes. If you don't care about a person and you see them doing something wrong, who cares? Let him do whatever he wants. If I love someone, then it bothers me when I see them doing something wrong. They're hurting themselves, and I want to try to do what I can to help them. So Toychocha, Rabbi Nizal explains there and in other places, that proper Toychocha is a revelation of Chesed. Now Rabbi Nosenzal begins. V'hinei ha'peyois v'hazokon heim oyer ha'ponim. the payas and the beard, that's the light on the face of a Jew. Hadras panim, that's referred to as the beauty of the face of a Jew. Bechinas hasogas hachochma, because it represents the person's ability to achieve chochma. Kamaisha kosov, as it says in a pasuk in Chumash, v'hodarta penei zokein. You will show respect and beauty to the face of a zokein, an elder. That pasuk has many interpretations, but the way Rav Nosson Zal is interpreting it here, that the hidur panim, hadra v'hodarta penei v'hidur panim, the beauty of the face of a religious Jew is the beard and payas. Shehazokon hu hadras panim, that's the beauty. Oyer haponim, that's the spiritual light on the face of a Jew. Shehu bechinas hachochma, which is associated with chochma, k'may shekosov, as it says in Koheles, chochmas odom toyer ponov. The chochma of a person lights up their face. So again, the oyer haponim is the chochma. Ki hazokon hu bechinas shloshesrei midos shehatoyra nedreshes bohem. Because the beard, the Sifrei Kabbalah tells us, is the 13 attributes of kindness and the 13 formulas by which the Torah is interpreted. Kimuva kol ze bedifrei Rabbeinu, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 2 and 27 in Likudei Moran, Shehem Iker Hasogas HaChochma. The Zohar Kodesh shows how the different midos of Hashem are associated and correspond to different parts of the body. What the eyes represent, what the ears represent, what the nose represents, and the beard is the place of the 13 attributes of kindness and these 13 formulas by which the Torah is expounded. Valkein hazokon vapeois hem sarois. And this will explain why the beard and payas come in the form of hairs. Kihein bechinas hasogas hachochma. Because they represent our ability to achieve, to understand chachma. She'ikar ha-hasaga hu v'bechinas sarois. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran that our ability to understand chachma, to receive the light, is only when it's coming to us in these hairs, in these tzimtzumim. Shehu ha-chachma tato, which is referred to as the lower chachma, or the malchus. Kimavur Shom, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 30. Vze bechinas loyshesre midos, shem bechinas hazokon kanal. And this is also, note, these attributes of kindness of Hashem are referred to as midos, shloyshesre midos, shloyshesre midos shlorachmim, shloyshesre midos shahatoyro nedreshes ben. The word midos means measurements. Hainu bechinas midos v'tzimtzumim lahaseichel ho'elyon. What this is telling us is that these are measurements and constrictions, vessels, for this high-level knowledge and wisdom. Just like when a person wants to produce anything, anything significant, you don't just pour ingredients, you have to measure the ingredients in order for it to work, in order for the formula to work properly. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, shezeh bechinas saros, that's the concept of hairs. The Hebrew word for hair is sar, and the Hebrew word for measurements, that Rabbeinu Zal says, the bechinas shiura da'asfon doiraisa. The Zohar Kodesh speaks about the measurements, the shape and form of every letter in the Torah. Every letter in the Torah is shaped and formed in a certain way to serve as a vessel in which Hashem's light is contained. And by combining a few of these vessels, an aleph and a gimel, and that forms a word. And by combining a few words, it forms a sentence. V'alkein osur lahavir ta'ar al hazokon vapeus. And therefore it's forbidden to pass a razor over the beard and payas. Kishon ikar hachayim va'arichas yomim. Because the spiritual life and the longevity of a Jew is represented by the beard. Shehu bechinas zokon. It's referred to, it's called a zokon or a zokain, and an old age is called zokain, zikna. Ve'enoi badin sheyunav hamekatzer al hamarech. And it's not appropriate, it's improper to raise something that shortens life on something that represents long life. The beard represents long life. We know that you can tell the age of a person often by the beard. When the beard is black, generally that represents a younger person. As the beard goes from black to gray to white, it represents aging. That's the aging process. As the Mishnah says, regarding the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, where the Torah tells us you're not allowed to raise a metal instrument in building the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to use a metal instrument. The Pasuk says there, Ve'imizbach avonim taseli, when you're going to build a Mizbeach out of stones, loisivne eshen gozis, don't build it by chopping stones using metal instruments, ki charbecho heinafto leho, because if you raise a sword on the Mizbeach, vatechaleleho, you're going to disgrace the Mizbeach. By doing that, you're going to disgrace it. And Rashi HaKodesh points out, the Mizbeach was created to lengthen the life of a person. Because again, there's a concept of ish becheto yumos. When a person commits a sin, they deserve to die. And the Mizbeach is where the karbonos were brought to forgive for the sins, to give life to the person. V'habarzel nivra l'katzer yomav shel yodam. And one of the major uses of metal is to shorten the life of a person. Ein ze badin sheyunaf hamakatzer l'amarech. And therefore it's inappropriate that something that shortens life should be raised over something that lengthens life. V'oid, in addition, shehamizbeach matal sholoim ben Yisroel avim shvashamayim. The mizbeach serves as a peacemaker between the Jews and Hashem. Again, when a person commits sins, they're cut off from Hashem. When a person does tshuva, they bring a korban that reconnects them, that makes peace between us and Hashem. Lefikach lo yovo yolov koirei sumachabel. Therefore, we're not allowed to raise something that cuts, something that destroys on the Mizbeach. V'alkein osur lechotchom ulashchisam. And therefore, it's forbidden to remove the peyos, to remove the beard. Lahashchis means to destroy. Ki adarab, just the opposite. Shom ikar alias hachochmotato. It's in the beard and peyos that there's the main elevation of this chochmotato. Ki heim oyer haponim. Because they are the light, the spiritual light of the face, as being contained in these hairs. And now, based on what Rabbeinu Zal writes there in Likud Imran, that the Malchus, we have to infuse life in the Malchus. And the most important time when we do that is on the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, which is times when the Oyer HaPonim of Hashem, Kaviyochel, is shining brightly. Rav Nosson Zal says this explains why there are two peyos and a beard, keneged shalosh regolim, corresponding to the three holidays, sheheim oyer haponim. They are a special time when kaviyochel, the light of Hashem's face, is shining brightly. What does that mean? What it means is that when things are going, taking their natural course, that's called hester ponim. That's called that Hashem is hidden. We don't see Hashem, kaviyochel. When Hashem makes miracles, when a miracle takes place, that's Hashem showing his face. Hashem is saying, hi guys, I'm here. There's no autopilot, there's no nature. I'm nature, I control nature, and I can do whatever I want. I'm not bound by the laws of nature in any way. And each one of these holidays, we're celebrating the miracles that occurred on those holidays. On Pesach, it's the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. On Shavuos, it's the miracles that took place at the time of Matan Torah. And on Sukkot, it's the miracles of those seven miracle clouds that followed and protected and laundered and tailored the Jews' clothing during the time we were in the desert. Kishtei ha-peyos hein bechinas yemin u'smoil. Because the two peyos, they are the right and the left. V'hazokon b'emtza, the beard is in the middle between them. Shezeh bechinas shalosh regolim keneged shloisha avos. And we know that the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, correspond to Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov. Sukkos is Yaakov Avinu, there's a pasuk Vayovoi Yaakov Sukkoso. Matan Torah Shavuos is Yitzchak Avinu. During the time of Matan Torah, there was the shofar, the blast of the shofar, which reminds Hashem of the ram that replaced Yitzchak at the Akedah. And also we're told that the Torah was given mipi gvura. The Gemara says, Anoichi v'lielucha mipi gvura, which is Yitzchak, Pachad Yitzchak. And Pesach represents Avram Avinu. We start the Seder by saying, everyone come and join us. Like Avram, the mid of Avram Avinu, the Chesed, the Hachnos Esorchim. And we know that the three Avos are referred to as right, left, and center. Avraham is Chesed, the right side, Yitzchak is Gvura, the left side, and Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes, which is the combination in the middle of Chesed and Gvura. The Iker Oyer Haponim Hu Hazokon, the main light of the spiritual light of the face is the beard. Vehu Iker Hasogas HaChochma, and that's how a person really achieves Chochma. Validei Shtei HaPeyos Shem Bechines Yemin Usmoil, and through the two peyos, which represent right and left, sheze bechinas chesed v'toychocha. The right side is always the meat of chesed. The left side usually represents gevura, rebuke. Most people look upon rebuke as gevura, judgment. Ki hachesed hu yemin, because chesed is always referred to as the right side. V'hatoychocha, and even though rebuke is a form of kindness, but it's kindness coming in a form of harshness. Rebuke involves telling somebody what you're doing is wrong. You're doing something wrong. You're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. That's the left side. And through the chesed and the teichacha, we're zeichet to the beard, the zakon, Bechinas Oyer Haponim, to be able to receive this light from Hashem. Ukamay Shemavur Shem, as Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this over there in chapter 30 in Likutei Moran. Any questions? Question, but the Mizbeach was a place where animals were killed. How is it possible to call it a place of life? First of all, the animals were not killed on the Mizbeach. The shechting, the slaughtering down, was not on the Mizbeach. It was other places in the Beis Hamikdash. Secondly, this is a very important point that needs to be made, that when we talk about life, real life, we're talking about human lives. And it's always extremely important to recognize that when an animal is being used to help a human being, that's when the animal is really accomplishing its main purpose in life. When an animal is being slaughtered, shechted, in order that human beings should be able to eat from that, that's a benefit to the animal. That's not referred to as killing the animal. That's giving the animal life. That's allowing the animal to fulfill its mission, its purpose in life, and elevating it from the status of animal to the level of human.
Morning, Rav Nosson.
Yes.
In light of this teaching that we just toe-dipping into, it's like it's a huge, huge thing, like everything else in Yiddishkeit. So Rav Rosenfeld, as Rav Nosson mentioned earlier in the week, you know, he had a trim, little, tiny little beard, came out pears that were totally, almost invisible, but yet he was internally, he had the hugest beard and the biggest pears. But how do we put the fact that there's these external features and then his mission and how that relates to us?
The answer is, and at one point, when I met him, he had no beard at all. He was what we call clean-shaven. We're going to talk about this. Rav Nosson Zal soon is going to mention what the halacha is and what the Kabbalah is on this. Number one, that there's definitely a distinction between what a person is forbidden and permitted to do according to halacha, and then there's the Sifrei Kabbalah, what they tell us about this topic. Number one, we're going to learn about that. It's important to be able to differentiate. Number two, we just yesterday, I believe, in the previous year, we learned about putting on masks and costumes, dressing up on Purim with a mask and a costume. And we mentioned that this is done for the sake of shalom, for the sake of bringing people close, that certain people, in order for them to be brought close to Hashem, it requires the tzaddik masking masking himself, hiding himself, changing his face, making himself appear as something different from what he really is. That's what a mask is. And Rabbeinu Zal told a story, the 12th story in Sipuri Maisius, the story of the Baal Tefila, who was the tzaddik who went around perfecting the world. He went around all the different countries, all the different groups, in order to bring them to a tikkun. And the group that was most difficult to be able to correct and repair was the group that worshipped money, where money was the most important thing in their lives. Rav Rosenfeld, Zichrono Livracha, lived during a time in the 1940s, and the outreach that he was doing was in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and early 70s, when in the United States of America at that time, there was an incredible situation. If a religious Jew wanted to support his family, he had to be prepared to change jobs weekly. I just heard about this yesterday. We dedicated the shiur yesterday, I believe, to the yahrzeit, the grandfather of one of our close friends from Toronto. And she told us about her grandfather, that he came to the United States and he wanted to be religious and he wanted to support his family. And he knew on a weekly basis that the bosses at that time, the Jewish bosses at that time, told the workers, if you don't come on Saturday, don't come on Monday. That if you're not going to work on Shabbos, and there were a small minority of Jews that were able to pass that test, that were able to know that they'd have to look for a new job every single week during depressed times in the United States at that time, in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, when there wasn't such plentiful parnassa for anybody, number one. And in terms of outreach at that time, here again, what was being told the irreligious Jewish leadership at that time, the people who presented themselves as if they were the leaders, you know, were telling the Jews coming over from the European countries that if you want to survive in the United, that this is a new life, this is a new world. America is a new world. In Poland, in Hungary, those places, you were in a world where you could have your beard and payas, and you could have your Shabbos, and you have your kashrus. Now you're coming to the golden Medina, the golden land of America, the United States, the land of opportunity. You'll be able to live a much better life than when you had in those ghettos that you were living in Poland and in those European countries. Here you're going to have a good life if you follow the rules. And the rules are forget Shabbos, forget kashrus, forget your tefillin, forget going to shul. It's all about work, work, work. You're going to work, you're going to succeed. And their definition of work meant 6 days a week, Sunday is off. Saturday, Shabbos is a regular work day, Rachmona Litzlan, number one. And in terms of dressing, if you want to be part of the civilization here in the United States, forget your long coat, forget your beard and payas, you got to look like a mensch. You got to look like a person. Look how they look here. Everybody shaves here. There's no payas, there's no beards, that kind of stuff. And in terms of women covering their hair also, in America you don't cover your hair. And this is those that studied that what went on at that time. This was the norm, even in the world of orthodoxy, Rachmona Litzlan. So at that time, Rav Rosenfeld was raised in that United States, number one. And when he started doing outreach, he understood that if he had the beard and payas, he would be persona non grata. He could not teach the people. He couldn't reach the people he wanted to reach. And therefore, he put on this mask, this costume. Even though, according to Kabbalah, we're going to see soon, it's extremely, extremely forbidden to touch the beard, to trim the beard in any way. And the payas have to be a certain length. Rav Rosenfeld went based on the halacha. He followed halacha. He did not use a razor, chas v'shalom, didn't use an electric razor, a machine that cuts in the manner that a razor does, but rather used the machines that were kosher al pi halacha. And payas also, he understood that he had to hide his payas at the time in order to accomplish the mission that he was on, a special mission. His sons, his own sons, had beards and payas. Number one. And his students, he didn't tell his students what to do at the time. If a student wanted to grow a beard, it wasn't, certainly wasn't against it in any way. At a later stage in his life, in the late 60s, I believe early 70s, is when he saw that the world, the Jewish world, changed, where they weren't allergic to a beard and payas. These people who previously were allergic to this, this was something that people didn't want to associate with, the modern American Jew, or in other countries, South Africa, England, wherever it was. And at that time, he felt that it was already okay to have a beard, a trim beard at the time. And then when he went, when he found out that he had cancer, Rachmana Litzlan, and he was told that his life was not going to be much longer, 2 days later, he was on a plane to Eretz Yisrael. He left Eretz Yisrael. And from that point on, he did not cut his beard. You know, those that saw him saw that he had a full beard at the time, the last months of his life, and when he passed away, explaining what the circumstances were, you know, that why he acted in that way.
Thank you very much, Jesus.
Rav Nosson Zal continues, Aval kol shar hasarois, whereas the rest of the hair on a person's head, what's not part of the beard and payas, even though they are also extensions of the brain. They're rooted inside the head. They are wires that are extensions of the brain, but they're referred to as moisrei moichin. They're also excesses of the brain. Im kol ze, even though there's a certain holiness to them, machmashehem bebechinas moisreis, because they are referred to as excesses, they don't serve any particular health purpose. If a person takes a haircut, has longer hair, shorter hair, having longer hair doesn't make the person healthier in any way physically or spiritually. Therefore, yesh bohem yenikal ha-sitra achra. The sitra achra is able to draw from the hair on the head that's not part of the payas and the beard. Kimishon ikar yenikosam, because that's where the sitra achra draws energy from chokhma tato, from malchus, from these vessels. Vyalkein kishen is gadlin harbe, and therefore when the other hairs grow a lot, tzorech lechotcham, we have to cut them. Bibchinas, as Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moran, chotchoy ledalet, we have to cut. That's the term that's used, cut the connection between the Malchus of Kedusha and these other Malchios. And it says that when Shmuel Anavi engaged Agag, the king of Amalek, the king of the Sitra Achra, it says he cut him, he sliced him into four. He cut the Dalet. Kedei shelo yiliten lohem yenika min hakoch matato. In order not to allow the Sitra Achra, the forces of Tumah, the Klipos, to draw from this chokhmah tato, from these hairs, shehu bechinas dalet, which is represented by the letter dalet, v'alkein mitzvah gedoylo legaleach erev horegel. And this is why the Shulchan Aruch tells us that one of the best times for a religious man to take a haircut is erev yontif, before a holiday, before Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, before Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Kedei lechotcha min ho'arba malchios, in order to cut the malchus of Kedusha, which is represented by these hairs, cut it, sever the connection between it and the four kingdoms of the Sitra Achra, kedei shetucha lalois b'sholosh regolim, so that the malchus of Kedusha will be able to rise up during those three holidays, shehem oyer haponim, which on those three holidays is when this Oyer HaPonim shines most brightly. Baruch Hashem. In order to appreciate what we learned just now, the more familiar we are with that chapter on Likutei Moran, it's clearer, obviously. It's much clearer and bigger. But Rav Nosson Zal gave it to us as best as he could. Halacha Beis. We'll just start the introduction from Likutei Moran. Al pi hamaymor uveyoyim habikurim. This halacha is based on chapter 4 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which is a Torah that Rabbeinu Zal said on Shavuos, another major, major long production in Likutei Moran, Ve'es ho'orvin tzivisi l'chalkalecha, which is based on the pasuk where when Eliyahu HaNavi rebuked Achav, King Achav, who was an idol worshiper, and then Eliyahu HaNavi had to run for his life. And he was hiding in a cave, and then at one point Hashem said to Eliyahu HaNavi, you need food. I'm going to command the ravens to supply food for you. They're going to bring you meat from the kitchens of Yehoshaphat, from the glatt kosher kitchens of Yehoshaphat, to provide for you. Belikutei Tanina, Siman Dalet, in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 4, Ayin Sham Heitev. Study that chapter well to really be able to appreciate what Rav Nosson Zal is going to say. Ki tzrichim lasois kli vitzinor lekabel es hachesed. Here again, Rabbeinu Zal stresses this point because this is one of the basics of Judaism, that Hashem, spirituality, is light. You can't really benefit from light unless you're able to contain it. You need light bulbs. You need light fixtures. You need things that contain the light and modify it in a way that we can get true benefit from it. So Rabbeinu Zal says there that in order to receive the kindness of Hashem is flowing at all times. However, what determines whether we're receiving it or not is if we have prepared vessels, pipes, into which to receive it. V'zeh nase alidei ha-yira. Rabbeinu Zal explains there, yira is the pipe, the tzimtzum. The word yira is bigematria gvura. Yira is the tzimtzum into which a person can receive the chesed. V'ha-yira nase alidei ha-ratzayim. And the way that a person improves and generates this yira is by connecting to ratzayim. Ratzayim means desire, goodwill. There's a pasuk in Ashrei, Ritzayim Yirei of Yaseh. Ratzayim generates Yira. Ratzayim feeds Yira. And Rabbeinu Zal explains this over there on Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal has an elaborate explanation that when the Ratzayim, when the will of Hashem is revealed, that generates respect. Yira means fear, Yira means respect. When Hashem's Ratzayin is hidden, when things are going along their merry way, according to nature, so people aren't afraid of Hashem. They don't see Hashem. When Hashem reveals His Ratzayin, how? When a miracle happens. Suddenly we see when Hashem wanted the Jewish people to survive, even though the Greeks were 1,000 times more powerful, Hashem flipped things around, that the small, weaker ones were able to defeat the larger, more powerful ones. Anytime there's a miracle, Hashem is revealing His Ratzayim. And when the Ratzayim is revealed, that imposes Yira. That gains the respect and the awe and the fear. V'ikar ha-Ratzayim nase alidei hiskashrus l'shoyresh ha-Ratzayim. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran that there's lower-level Ratzayim, and there's the source of Ratzayim. The source of Ratzayim is Hashem. And kaviyochel, within Hashem, Ratzayim is the highest level, the keser. The crown is referred to as Ratzayim, desire. The nefesh, Rabbeinu Zal says, and we could the nefesh, the soul, spirituality, is referred to as Ratzayim. Vehu bechinas meitzach ha-Ratzayim. The Zohar HaKodesh tells us that the highest level of Ratzayim, the Shoresh HaRatzayim, is referred to as the Meitzach HaRatzayim, the forehead of Ratzayim. And this term forehead is used in the Torah, both referring to very high levels of Kedusha and the opposite. Rabbeinu Zal brings the sources. U'meitzach isha zayna. U'keneged ze yesh bechinas meitzach hanochosh. Rabbeinu Zal explains over in Likutei Moran that opposite this Meitzach HaRatzayim, which represents the highest place of holiness, opposing that, you have the Meitzach HaNochosh, kaviyochel, the forehead of the snake of Tuma, Shehu Hepech HaRatzayim, which is the opposite of the will of Hashem. V'ikar yenikas Meitzach HaNochosh, hu mizikney hador she'ein bohem shleimus. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran that this Meitzach HaNochosh draws its energy, its power, from those elderly people who are not doing what they should be doing. They're not really completing their life. They retire. They decide at a certain age They're 70 or 70. I'm retiring. What's retiring? I don't have to push anymore. I don't have to do anything anymore. I can relax. We're referring to people who don't look to add new holiness and new knowledge of Hashem as they're getting older, as they're aging. Ayin Shom, take a look over there on the Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this in the latter part of that chapter. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, what's the solution for this? We know that unfortunately there are thousands of people like that. How do we deal with that? Rabbeinu Zal explains, V'lozeh moyot tzedakah. The mitzvah of tzedakah helps counter that negative item. Ayin Shom. Rabbeinu Zal brings psukim to show that tzedakah represents long life, true long life. Tzedakah tatzil mimoves. Tzedakah saves from death. Tzedakah increases life. And these people are people who are short, who are not living. People who think that they've reached a certain point and now it's just preparing to die or waiting to die, chas v'shalom. V'zeh b'chinas k'tzar yomim svarigas. Rabbeinu Zalveh brings a pasuk, short days, full of anger. We know that there are people who, as they get older, they get nastier, angrier, more easy to get angry and nasty, and vice versa. Holy aging means mellowing, becoming more kind, more gentle, more giving. Shemi pigam hazikenim. As a result of those elders who are not doing the right thing, sheze b'chinas k'tzar yomim, their days are referred to as short days. They're not filling their days. Mizeh yoinik metzach hanochosh. That's where this metzach hanochosh draws from. Shehu b'chinas roiges, who is associated with anger. Hepech harotzein, the opposite of goodwill, appeasement. Aval al yidei zokon digdusha. Whereas Rabbeinu Zal says over there, through the holy elder, the tzaddik emes, the holy zokin, zoichen lerotzein. And through holy aging, we're zoicha to rotzein, to goodwill, to appeasement. The chinas, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya Navi, zokin unesuponim, old and favorable face, a face that shows pleasantness, kindness, a sweet old man or old lady. Ponim hu bechinas rotzein. And Rabbeinu Zal shows over there again, the face is associated with rotzein, goodwill, appeasement. We say in our tefillah, Pnei Eli v'choneni, Hashem, please look at me and shine your grace upon me. So ponim is an inyan of chen, an inyan of rotzein dikdusha. This is the introduction from Likutei Moran, and Rav Nosson Zal is going to expound on this. We'll take this up in the next shiur. Wishing everyone a wonderful day. We should be zoicha that Hashem should shine His sweet face upon us and show us His chesed, His kindness. And when there's rebuke, it should be done in a gentle, sweet way that we could handle it. Be zoicha to the Gula Shleima, b'mheira b'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.